This show is brought to you by earpeeler.com.
Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at www.audibletrial.com/radmetal. Over 150,000 titles to choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
My name is Sarah Longfield, and you're listening to Radioactive Metal.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? This is a Sarah Smiles episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 517, and I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
I'm Corrine.
And this is Aaron. And listeners, soon I'll be traveling to Virginia. And you know what that means? That means I'll be donning a shirt that says hotter than a church in Norway. Because once again, this show is brought to you by the wonderful soul-sucking demons of True Cult Coffee. Is that a thing, like wonderful soul-sucking demons? It's like a nice mentor? Is that a thing?
I'm a big horror film fanatic, so I love a good soul-sucking demon, yeah.
So it's funny, like I've told you guys before, like I'm not a coffee guy, but I finally tried True Cult. I like the True Cult. I'm like, I really actually need to order some because I could really go for a cup of True Cult coffee on a fairly regular basis. I'm probably still going to stick with the Mjork Helvete, although my buddy Chris ground up the Cafe Storm, and he said that's his favorite. So for any of our listeners who have watched the video that we did, you know, Chris was the one with the baby.
Yes.
You know, it was a good time. And he actually tried the Cafe Storm. He said that's his favorite. Him and his wife both really, really enjoyed that.
Cool.
So True Cult Coffee. So ladies and gentlemen, check out truecultcoffee.com, T-R-V-E-K-V-L-T coffee.com. Interact with them on the Insta pages at TRVE.KVLT.coffee. And that's where I interact with Coffee Bean Occulta. In fact, Coffee Bean Occulta has put up the challenge to show your instrument.
Mm. Whoa, so hey, whoa.
Challenge out.
Sorry.
Rock, you've been in French Canada too long. We mean like guitars and things, Rock.
Oh, okay, good. Phew. Well, he showed me his.
Yeah.
While I was up there.
I'm like, what?
He did. What? He did.
Because it actually came from Sherbrooke. Oh, that's right.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's
the new bass. Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
He bought it while I was there.
Right on.
Brought it home.
How crazy is that? How cool.
Look, we don't want to hear about your friend's balls, okay? We have enough balls on this show. We don't need to see your friends.
I mean, we're talking about guitars still, Corrine.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, we'll talk about balls. That's the next topic.
But okay.
Show us your instrument has been the campaign. So I've been taking pictures of some of the guitars I have around the house here. And, you know, tagging True Cult Coffee. So, listeners, I challenge you, take a picture of your guitar, your drum, your flute, whatever it is. That's pausing just in case somebody needed to make a comment.
Yeah. No, please. All right.
Just in case. But anyway.
One time at band camp?
Corrine, I thought you had a flute. Don't you have a flute, Corrine?
Look, we don't talk about my flute, okay? My flute.
Okay.
Okay, anyway, so listeners, post an instrument, tag us, tag True Cult Coffee, and again, show True Cult Coffee some love because they show this show some love to help bring you the content that we all do. So
yes.
Without further ado, let us continue the show. So ladies and gentlemen, what's new? What's going on?
Well, I don't know. I'm actually between this week and the week coming up, it's actually kind of slow here at Snowy Manor and all that, but hopefully I can still kind of pull out a half decent metal fix, and I hope you guys have got some stuff ready to rock and roll as well. So if you want to get on with her, let's give her.
Go!
And what the fuck did we do this week? Find out in our metal fix.
Okay, bro and bra, what's going on? Who wants to talk about what they did to who and how many times?
I'd like to go kind of last so I can introduce a track. Maybe, maybe,
Sure.
You know, Okay, I'll wait patiently.
Quietly. Okay. Well, one of you two, what you guys got?
I don't know, mine's going to be kind of long, so how about you, Corrine?
Well, you know, I had a hard time. Not really, I didn't have a hard time. I didn't even have a hard on, but I did have a metal fix. And I did listen to some Cavalera Conspiracies.
Thank you for that, buddy. That was a killer album.
Wasn't it? Oh my God.
So good.
Calm down, kids.
Yes. Dude, his new fucking album is just killer. The Psychosis album.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't care and, for Cavalera, but okay.
And the only reason why I even know about this album is because Max Cavalera was on Liquid Metal on Sirius XM, and they played the Impalement Execution. And there's like six fucking death metal riffs in that one fucking song. Goddamn metal riffs. And you can hear them all. And when he was talking about it, he said that it's going to be a bitch playing that show live. playing that shit live was his words. And he said it's going to be a bitch playing it live, but he said it's going to be totally worth it.
No. Max is the man, like, for sure.
I really dig that guy. Like at first, like when Soulfly happened, I didn't care. And then just over the years, I've really come to appreciate him as a musician and a person.
I also took a gander. I took a listen to Deicide's new stuff, too.
Oh, yeah?
Deicide.
Did the hubby send you a copy?
No, he did not. But yeah.
What a bastard.
Yeah, right? Man, we're supposed to be married, Glenn, damn it! but no, he's involved with Rollins. There ain't no chance for me. But.
No, that's somebody different. That's Glenn Danzig.
Oh, not Glenn Benton.
Holy shit, that's an old reference. Yeah. Holy jeez.
Oh, man.
No, but I love the new Deicide stuff, courtesy of good old Jason Sukoff for help producing that album.
Ah, nice.
It'll make your nipples twist harder than Mike's Hard Lemonade.
All right.
Thank you for it.
Are they going to turn around just like a cross turns around when Glenn Benton is in the room?
Oh, you know it. Yeah. They'll 69 all over that shit.
All right.
Alrighty.
No, you know what? I have to admit, I haven't heard. Like, I saw that there is new material from Deicide bouncing around on the interwebs and all that. I just haven't got to it yet and all that. So thanks for reminding me. I think that's what I'm gonna do tonight. I'm gonna snip out some new Deicide. Sounds like a plan.
Dude, it's really, really good stuff. There's also a new track from this band. I'm pulling it up right now because I couldn't remember the name of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I literally had to take a picture of it. It's by Alien Weaponry.
Mm-hmm.
And the song is called Kai Tangata. And it's spelled K-A-I space T-A-N-G-A-T-A. And apparently it's done in a very, very, very... I don't know if it's their native language, but it's almost a dead language where like only a few people know how to speak it.
French?
No, it's not French. Nor is it Canadian.
Canadian.
Canadian. That's ugly American right there. Holy.
Canadian is a language, eh? Only Canadian is a eh. And it's about time.
Yeah, right, but the band Alien Weaponry put out that song K Tangata, but it's really fucking delicious in a sense.
Well, the band is called Alien Weaponry. Are you sure they're not actual aliens and maybe they're speaking their alien language?
Hey, look, I haven't seen one single music video from them, so that conspiracy theory is still up for our debate. But if it's a native language that nobody's really ever heard of except for a select few, are they really aliens?
Yeah.
So
this Alien Weaponry kind of came across my desk. I haven't given it a really good listen to form a real opinion, but I went through, there's 800 million other bands that I'm paying attention to right now.
Yeah, well, but I'm sorry for my condolences, Snowy. I'm sorry for your loss, but you should have really listened to them.
I'm sure I will.
Yeah, you would have gotten an ear fuck. You know what that's like, getting an ear fuck? I don't think you do, because you didn't listen to Alien Weaponry.
Wouldn't that be like an ear probe? If it's alien weaponry?
Yeah, it'd be an ear probe.
He didn't even get just the tip, damn it. He couldn't even get the fucking tip.
Oh, my God.
No. He bypassed that shit like it was, like, last night's dinner. like it was fucking old. No, it's silly.
God, I missed you, Corrine. I missed you so much.
Like, I don't even know how to, you know, like, explain to Snowy how much of a mindfuck that he would have been in if he just took the time to listen to Alien Weaponry. I don't think any of us could, like, comprehend what you just missed. But you did, and my condolences to you, sir.
Well, give me credit for knowing what the hell you're talking about.
I don't know. Do you? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Do I know? I don't know.
Not really.
Okay, so what else you got?
That's really about it. That's really all I have.
That's all we can handle. Jeez.
I know. I can't handle a whole lot, but what I can handle, let me take a step back and reevaluate myself.
Oh, man. All right, so Snowy, are you next or you want me to go next?
Just to kind of mix it up here, because I almost said that I don't have a whole hell of a lot, but I know you guys would just get on me for that. But
we're rolling our eyes right now.
Yeah,
because like I said, it's kind of been a slow week. I never hit any live shows or anything like that, but I did have some cool records and music come across my desk that I do want to put out there. First of all, $20 Spin, the record label, is putting out some killer records the past little while, starting with Toronto death metalers Tomb Mold, their debut album, Manner of Infinite Forms.
I heard some of that while I was in Canada.
Dude, that's right up your alley, I think.
I did not hate it.
Probably not. As well, death metalers Torture Rack, I think it's their debut album, Malefic Humiliation, as well. I gave that a spin. That's, you know, a nice slab of brutal death metal. If you're one of those love-it-all type death metalers, you know, then... you know, this is definitely something you'll want to jump on as well. Just to mix it up a little bit, the new UDO or Udo, whatever you want to call it, Mr. Dirk Schneider, his main band, Udo, put out their latest record, Steel Factory. Gave that a spin. And if you like just basic, classic, not only, you know, what Udo normally gives you or what Accept gives you, if you just like straight up traditional classic metal, you know, you cannot go wrong with this. And listening to Steel Factory, it made me think, okay, I saw Udo this year. Okay. But it was all like a tribute to Accept. It was nothing but old Accept stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you just looked at just Udo, you got an Accept show, at least an old-fashioned Accept show. I want Udo, the band, to come to town, and I want to check this band out. You know, them being themselves, I think that would be really exciting. Our good buddy Reaper from the Hellcast podcast and from Hell's Headbangers and Heavy Metal Relics, we've had him on the show. We push his stuff a lot. Really good friend of the show. All of his stuff, okay, all the stuff he's doing, he's all rebranded into Reaper Metal Productions. And one of those things he's doing is bringing back his old Reaper Metal record label as well. Like,
oh, cool.
Yeah, it was Reaper. Like, we already spoke about the band Cyst because of the connection with True Cult Coffee.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And of course, Reaper and Reaper Metal is heavily, heavily connected to True Cult as well. And I like to think maybe I might have had something to do with that because I was kind of the, I don't know if I directly put everyone together and all that, but I'm thinking I had some sort of connection in there as well, so I'm quite happy with that. So we've already talked about Cyst.
Hey, I don't know, Snowy. I'm gonna have to put a halt to your little tirade over here because I'm pretty sure True Cold Coffee got a hold of me first.
Okay, well that's irrelevant to what.
Is this a custody battle?
Yeah,
it might be.
Well, you can see them on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right. I get 75-25, okay?
I don't know how that connects True Cult with Reaper Metal Productions, but I'll give you that one, Kareem.
It doesn't.
Sometimes, I've been married for 30 years. Sometimes you just got to say yes, dear, and then move on.
Like, absolutely. Yeah. That's why you're still married.
Yep.
That's why you're still married. Yeah.
So far, yeah, we're familiar with the band Cyst and their debut album, The Frozen Casket. Reaper Metal is putting that out. As well, the musical highlight of my week has been the new band Wolfblood. Their new EP Night Rider is now available on Bandcamp as well. And I don't mind saying this, I'm gonna push Wolfblood in a little bit. I want to drop one of their tracks here. I don't mind saying this because Reaper himself on Hellcast has said, go on to Bandcamp. The entire Reaper Metal Productions catalog is up on pay whatever you will basis as well. So everyone go and check that out. You know, fully support. But drop a couple bucks for whatever you buy off for Reaper Metal. Like, these are great people putting out great stuff. So make sure you send them a couple bucks while you go and you pick up all of this great stuff. What else? Last episode, Aaron, you may recall I was talking about the Holy Grinder show.
Oh yeah.
Okay, we're basically
Holy Grinder.
where we had that chat about, you know, being right there, up close, in personal, the singer screaming into your face. You yes. cannot beat that feeling, okay? There is a video of the whole set was shot, and the cameraman, Mr. Dylan Bailey, shout out to Dylan, he's a great guy. I hang out with him at shows. He films a lot of shows here in Winnipeg. He shot Holy Grinder right beside me, the whole set. Wow. So basically go onto YouTube, find the video Holy Grinder full set, and you're basically going to see that show through my eyes for all intents and purposes.
Nice.
Because the camera was right beside me the whole time.
And this is why I call you the mayor of Winnipeg.
I'll take it. At least the metal scene.
The mayor of metal.
Thank you. I'll take that. Has anyone heard the new shit from Pig Destroyer since Kareem was talking about new tracks from unreleased albums kind of making the rounds right now. Anyone heard some new PD?
I thought I was doing pretty good this week. No, I didn't hear any of that.
Yeah.
I listened to a song called Pig, but it wasn't by a Pig Destroyer.
No. Well, the new record, Headcage, will be available September 7th. And I'm really excited for the second song from that band and record, The Torture Fields. The official video is out now, and it's nothing fancy. It's nothing exciting. It's just, it's just Pig Destroyer killing it and just doing what they do, and which makes them one of the best bands on the planet right now. And finally, I was enjoying a couple podcasts. Okay, and they're kind of, I don't like to give a lot of attention to the quote unquote celebrity podcasts, but I just wanted to mention one of them, Rob Blasco. Okay, he's he appeared on the Metal Sucks podcast. I was listening to him, and he was talking about his podcast and everything that he's done. And of course, Blasco is best known for he's currently in Ozzy's band, and he's also well known for being in Rob Zombie's band as well. Okay, and this is actually a gentleman we probably should have had on the show by now. Okay, and you ever have that moment when you hear some information and you go, fuck, I should have known that. Why didn't I know that? And you feel like a total idiot.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's just you, yes. Snowy.
Yep.
Hey, it happens to all of us. Come on. I'm just the one with the sack enough to admit it, okay?
Oh.
No, I'm not throwing that out to anyone. I'm just saying, that's the one thing that I have an ego about is just...
Your sack?
Yeah, well, that too. Yeah, but...
The Wrigley sack?
Yeah. I did not know this, and I'm throwing this down to all of our listeners. I'm fessing up. I'm making another confession here. I did not know that Rob Blasco is Rob Nicholson from Cryptic Slaughter, from the glory days of the 80s of that.
I didn't know that.
I throw myself down to the mercy of metaldom. I had no idea. I'm like, what the fuck?
He's been on Justice podcast a lot, and they talk about Cryptic Slaughter all the time.
I must not have caught that, which I've really fallen behind. Like with the Justice show, and nice segue, dude. With the Justice show, it's hit and miss with me. If I want to listen to it, and then it all depends on the artist. And I've really fallen behind on his show, but I just listened to an older episode just today at work because he had Terrence Hobbs from Suffocation on. Mm-hmm. And earlier today, and I'm going to be binging a whole whack of his other episodes because lately he's got a lot of cool metal and hardcore artists that I do want, him to talk to. Earlier today, I was listening to his episode, his special top 10 hardest tracks, because this particular episode, he had Colin Young from Twitching Tongues on, who, along with Terrence Hobbs, Colin Young has been a recent guest here on Radioactive Metal as well. Mm-hmm. So I was really curious, really interested to find out, what Mr. Young's top tracks were. And man, he dropped some 25 to Life, some Hatebreed, some Agnostic Front, some Kickback. This guy's awesome. And that's why. So that's pretty much it for my metal fix. There.
Boy, that was short.
It was, damn it. Everybody's a crit.
It was almost 10 minutes, so all right, okay.
Technically, that is short for Snowy.
Yeah, it is. So yeah. I guess it's my turn now?
Yes, sir, it is.
All right, so I'm going to try and make it short. I don't know how short L will be, but, like Snowy, I tend to talk and ramble and, whatever. So,
shit abuse.
So yeah, Last week I wasn't on the episode because I was in Canada, was visiting with the family, and had a great time. Had a few experiences while I was up there. Namely, I went to a local wrestling show up there that was
Nice.
I was held by the ALE, Académie de Lutte Estrienne. So,
or ALE.
ALE, exactly. It stands for ALE. ALE.
All about beer.
Yep, yep. And not ginger ale, but, you know. So they were, and the thing is, it was held at a camping ground. And, you know, it's kind of interesting, you know, camping grounds when people, they have rows of tents and rows of people's RVs and stuff. And it's just like the most common denominator ever. So I was like,
not at a wrestling show.
What? Oh, well, no, it was even worse because it was even worse because it was at a camping site and like half the men don't have shirts on and it's like they really should. You know?
Okay.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
So,
lots of little kids, you know. So
let me sum this up. Shirtless men and somebody was pitching a tent, right?
Yes, there was tents everywhere.
I mean, nothing on that one? Jeez.
Well, I mean, when you hear them all.
So yeah, so that was really interesting. That was kind of fun, you know. I was sitting in the sun for a while though, because there was no shade. The ring was in the sun for most of the show. The wrestlers, you could tell, they would, you know, fall on the mat and they'd be like, get up like right away if they didn't have to lay there.
Oh, and, fuck, you know, the mat's hot. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my god. You know, the very first match, especially because the clouds kind of came in after the second match. So, but you know, that very first match, the guys were, it was kind of a comedy match. So the guys were like, oh my god, this is so fucking hot and stuff. And, you know, one thing that I thought was kind of, was really, entertaining is they had this match with this guy who's this patriot, this French-Canadian patriot, okay, comes out with a Quebec flag and all that, and he was wrestling an American, quote-unquote, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he was from Hollywood, quote-unquote. So this guy comes out with the shades and the American flag on his back, and, you know, and he's kind of going around, and he's speaking English. But I could tell he wasn't American because he had a little bit of an accent. His English was excellent, but he had a little bit of an accent. I could hear it. So
okay.
So the guys are, you know, fighting and stuff, and then the French Canadian patriot is chopping like Ric Flair, the guy on the chest. Woo, woo. And they did not ride Space Mountain, I can tell you that. And
why not?
And then the guy, the French Canadian who's slapping the guy on the chest, at one point stops, looks at his hand, and he sniffs his hand, and he goes, ah. Filthy, disgusting American. And I just laughed. I just laughed. I was like, oh my god. But he said it in French, of course, which was even funnier. That was great. So anyway, so that was a fun thing I did. I also did Musique Cité, which is the indie record store that I like to go to when I'm in Sherbrooke.
Okay.
Their metal selection, it keeps growing every year. And, you know, when you mentioned Tomb Mold earlier, while I was at the store, at one point, the guy working, he was the owner, started playing something. And I'm like, damn, this is kind of good. I look at him. I said, the hell is this? So, oh, he says it. And he said it with a really thick French accent, Tomb Mold. And I was like, what? And then he showed me the cover. Oh, Tomb Mold. Okay.
Right on.
But it was good. And, you know, I was like, wow, this is not bad. I would have bought it if I hadn't already picked up two other CDs that I was getting ready to buy. So, but what I picked up while I was there, picked up a classic that I used to have. And for some reason, well, I know exactly where I got rid of it. When I moved from Vermont, from Canada to Vermont, I had to lighten the load because I had way too much shit. And I rebought Black Sabbath Dehumanizer with a
Deep. Oh, nice.
Yeah, I love that album. It's really good. And this is like the reissue from 2008. So there's there's two versions of the song Time Machine. Okay. And I finally understood something about this one particular song, because every time I looked up that song, it's like, it's not the version that I like. I'm like, why? It's not the one I remember. There's slight differences. And I'm like, this is not the one I remember. Well, because there's two versions of it. And the second version on here is there's the album version and there's the Wayne's World version. That's the one. That's the one I like better because it has a little bit of longer of an intro where Tony Iommi is just, you know, chugging the guitar. You know, it's really good stuff. So and the vocals are not quite the same. The production's a little bit different. So because it wasn't recorded at the same time as the whole album for this one version of the song. So I picked that up. And the other thing I picked up, Snowy, is something that we talked about recently, the new Rotten Sound, that EP, Suffer to Abuse. Picked that up. And I didn't know, but it's a limited edition, 2,500 copies only made.
Really?
So, uh-huh. Yep. Yep, and I've got the number 2,448 out of 2,500.
Right on.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool.
Yep,
that is a cool number.
Yeah, they're all hand numbered, and that thing is like 11 minutes long. It's 7 songs, 11 minutes long. So
yeah,
gotta love grindcore. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned it this week. I went out and listened to it. I'm like, geez, this is like a punk record. It's so short.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, they tend to do that. Rotten Sound tends to do that. Yeah, yeah, and then the only other thing I wanted to mention during my oh no, while I was at Music City at the store, I don't know if you remember, but last year when I went, pardon the beeping, my pump is yelling at me,
okay. And pumping ain't easy. Sure, it's fun.
I don't know if you guys remember, but I mentioned last year when I went that. They had a few CDs that were 50% off.
Yes.
And one of them was Burzum. And I love Burzum. Oh. Right? Well,
yes.
I would like to commend my fellow Sherbrookeois, the you know, my people in Sherbrooke. The album was still there at 50%. Oh, nobody bought it.
No one wants that shit.
Yeah.
I thought you were gonna tell me it was down to 75%.
A year later, it was still there, 50% off.
There.
So I was very proud of my
set dust.
Yes. All right. So can I add something?
Please.
It's really quick. Okay. So I have a fight question for all of you.
Okay.
A who did it better? A who did it better question.
Okay.
I forgot to mention this. Who did this better for the song Hellraiser? Ozzy Osbourne?
Motorhead did.
Or Motorhead? Fight.
Motorhead.
I haven't heard Motorhead. The Motorhead version.
I'm not familiar with either version.
What?
But I am familiar with ZZ Top's Beer Drinkers in Hellraisers. Does that count?
No.
Are you familiar with the Butcher Babies version of that song?
Nope.
I'm familiar with all of them. I'm up on all of these.
Actually, I never cared for the Hellraiser song at all. So
what inspired?
I love that fucking song.
What inspired this? Just
talk about first. On you.
I don't know. You know, Kareen, she's like squirrel.
Yeah. I'm like what?
See, that's what we said.
Yeah, I was 12, like 12 years old.
No, squirrel.
Squirrel. Oh yeah.
So back at the Banana Ranch in Canada.
Back at the Banana Ranch.
The last thing I wanted to talk about is it's non-metal related, but I thought it was so cool, and I just wanted to share with you, my friends, and with our listeners. So I went to my friend's house, Pierre. I hadn't seen him in a couple of years. So we're over there, we're hanging out, and this was the second time I went to this apartment that he lives in. And, you know, we're chatting, and then you know, I realized he lives on Morris Street in Sherbrooke. And then I remember, it's like, well, my parents told me when they first moved to Sherbrooke, when they first got married, they lived on Morris Street. So I kind of mentioned it to my friend, you know, to Pierre. He's like, oh, yeah. He said, do you know where on the street? He's like, no, because it's a pretty long street, you know. I said, no, I have no idea. He's like, oh, okay. Yeah, so whatever. So a couple of days later, I'm with my mom. We're sitting on the porch. You know, we're just, you know, enjoying the nice weather. And I mentioned that Pierre lives on Morris Street. She goes, oh, do you know the address? I'm like, no. She said, we lived at 204 Morris Street. I'm like, okay. So I text Pierre. I said, Pierre, what's your address? Is it 204 Morris Street? He goes, yeah.
No.
Wow. So my mom starts describing to me the apartment when they moved in. It's exactly my friend's apartment. He lives in the apartment my parents first lived in when they moved to Sherbrooke in 1961.
Oh my
That's
goodness.
That's crazy.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yep. And then he was telling me, Pierre, that because his aunt owns the building now, it's just two apartments, you know, on top of each other. And he was asking me, he was asking me what year my parents were there. They were like from 61 to like mid 62. And he said his aunt bought the building in 1970. So, but the building was built in 1951.
Neat.
So, and my dad told me that they were the very first ones to move into that apartment because before that it was a basement. And the owner at the time converted it to an apartment. And they were the first ones to live in that apartment. So how crazy is that? You know, that coincidence. Who gets to see their parents' first apartment, you know, what? 1961, 40-something years later. 50-something.
Yeah, that's like mindfuck Twilight Zone shit right there, man. Like,
and actually,
okay, Marty.
actually, my sister was conceived in that apartment too. So, found that out.
Yeah, about that.
Inadvertently, she was born in 62, and that was the first apartment they lived in. And my mother was not pregnant when they moved in. So, hey.
Hey. Fun fact.
TMI. So, all right. So that's it. That's all I had to share for this week. I went to the Mae Young Classic, the tapings the last couple
of
days. dude, now I got to tell you this. We saw an injury. We saw an injury, a bad injury. I don't know if she broke her leg, but it looked like it was. Or a torn ACL or something. She had been out for like almost a year, 10 months. And for her right knee, she had torn an ACL and she wears a brace now. And you know how the wrestlers, Snowy these days, what they like to do? When one of them's on the floor, the other one will run the ropes and then jump through the ropes and, you know, crash on him on the floor. Well, she did that. And when she got up, she was limping hard. And my friends and everybody, even the crowd was like, ooh. Everybody knew, was like, oh, something's wrong. Because you could tell it was not faking. She wasn't acting, you know. And she's trying to go up the stairs and she's like, oh, ow. And she's screaming, you know, ah, you know. And then the ref, you know, which was a woman, she's like, are you okay? You know, it's like, do you want to continue? She's like, no, let's continue. So they, you know, they do this spot where the other girl grabs the arm and then they whip her in the other corner. Well, they tried to do that and she went about halfway in the ring and she almost collapsed.
And then
she got back up and then she goes back into the corner. And then the ref does that X sign, you know, that when there's an injury.
Okay.
They put their arms up and they do an X with their forearms. And she's doing that. And the girl's like, no, I can continue. And then a doctor comes out. And usually when you see these WWE doctors come out, it's usually a younger guy, you know, and stuff. But you could tell this was a doctor. You know,
he was a legit doctor. Yeah,
wow. Yeah, he was wearing a WWE shirt, but you could tell he was an older guy. And he came up and he's touching her knees, and she's like, she can barely, you know, she's ow. And then he's like, well, we need to stop this. She's like, no, I can continue. We could hear her. You know?
It's too late now. The doctor's in the ring. Like,
well, she's like, I can continue. I can continue. And the doc's like, okay. So he gets out and he stays, you know, right by the ring, and they did a few things. They weren't doing any running of the ropes or anything, but then she got body slammed and herself, the wrestler, did the X sign saying, I can't go on.
Oh.
I've never seen that. And then the crowd just went silent. Mm-hmm. It's like nothing. And she was crying. Yeah. She was actually crying. And we were like, so, but it looked like it was her other knee, not the knee that she had repaired. You know, and she was like, she looked like she was mad, but she was crying and she was, you know, and then this idiot sitting in front of me, oh, what's going on? You got another knee. This kid that I see at all the shows, he's a metalhead too, motherfucker. But he's like, oh, you know, you got to, I yelled at him. I said, hey, have a little fucking respect. You know, and he's like, well, it's just a show. I'm like, yeah, but when they get hurt like that, you shut the fuck up, you know, and then he shut up.
Oh, my God. I know.
I was like, God damn. Yeah. Yeah.
Was that here in America, Rock?
America.
What's that?
America. Yeah, that was in Orlando last night.
Yeah, it was at Full Sail last night.
Jeez.
So, yeah. So, anyway, just wanted to share that too. So,
thank you.
Sorry, I went on way too long.
No, no. Cool, cool. Do me a favor. Call Ducky and tell him what a great time you had at the Mae Young Classic.
Oh, he knows. I don't even need to address him. He knows.
What you got?
All right. So, Snowy, last week you were riding my balls about not being metal enough. Right. Oh. That was our post show conversation. And, you know, listeners, you'll know that Snowy and I have made an Olympic sport out of riding each other's nuts. And it was all done in good fun and, you know, lovingly, because, you know, we all care about each other here on Radioactive Metal.
And so, yes, that's who.
I mean,
just fucking with you guys.
Wow, Kareem. Wow. But so you know, I took the challenge and I really like worked to find some new stuff. So I started with Leached, right? So the track that we played last week on Radioactive Metal, "Guilt" by Leached. I started with them. I went on Spotify, like I was talking about. I used the different suggestions, and I found some other bands. And I'm going to save my favorite band for last. But has anybody here heard of a band called Pressure Cracks?
No.
Four song EP released this year. Guys, check it out. Holy shit. It was really good. Like really good. I've listened to it about 3 times now. It's just killer. I'm really enjoying Spotify, by the way, just for the fact that you can see what your friends are listening to.
Jesus Christ.
For example, John of Iron City Rocks was listening to Taylor Swift today.
Oh yeah. Sorry, John, but I got to do this. I got to do this to you. I saw our good buddy John. I saw he posted. He got dragged to the Taylor Swift show by his wife and kid and all that. You know, because I guess that's their thing.
Mm-hmm. And, I don't know. Was he really dragged?
Kicking and screaming.
And I was just. Oh, I just remembered back to when my daughter was that age, okay, and she spared me crappy music. She had no interest in pop garbage and all that. And I saw what poor John was going through, and it makes me want to take my little girl out for dinner again, just as a thank you once again for not subjecting me to all that crap. Thank you, dear.
Player's gonna play, Snowy. Hater's gonna hate. Right? What can we say? Nobody got the Taylor Swift joke in there?
I guess not. No.
What no. Did I no. Say? No.
I got spared all that shit.
Yeah. So, in my household, like, literally everything goes. We listen to everything here. So, you know, which you and I talked about last week. But so Pressure Cracks. Check out Pressure Cracks.
All right. Going to.
Big fan of Spotify. We'll have a discussion about this later because I think this could be a fun one about Spotify and other streaming services. But then something else is going on tonight. Are you guys aware that tonight, as we speak, August 10th, is the debut of Henry Rollins' Showtime special, Keep Talking, Pal?
Oh, no.
No.
Tonight's the night, and as luck would have it, I literally just switched cable providers, and I have to have Showtime as a trial for a few months. So I'm taping this evening. So it's recording on the DVR at 10 o'clock in about 20 minutes local time from when we're recording this.
Does Showtime replay stuff a lot?
To the best of my knowledge, yes.
Okay, because I think I can have a free trial also. I may start that tonight.
Dude, I would, man, because like just looking at the preview for it, I'm like, it looks pretty good, man.
So is that his show with the slides and all that?
I honestly don't know. Like the description is that it's going to be like high powered. Really, it sounds more like it's going to be one of his zinger kind of shows. I feel like it's going to be more of a comedy special. They're billing it as a stand up.
Okay.
So I think it's going to be more of the funny stuff and less of the stuff that makes you cry. For anyone who's never been to a Henry Rollins spoken word show, it is a 2-hour emotional roller coaster.
Oh, definitely.
Yes, yes it is.
That man will have you laughing and crying and just like anytime I go to a spoken word show of Henry's, like I leave it going, shit, I'm doing nothing with my life.
I know.
You know.
Like, I want to stop on the way little.
Home and like build houses for somebody. Like you just feel like shit. There is so much more I could be doing. Mm-hmm. And you know, since the last time I saw him, I've really been trying to get that to drive me. So I've actually been reading. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the article he used to write for the LA Weekly. I can't remember what it's called, but he has the books he published called Before the Chop. So mm-hmm. it was the articles unedited, essentially. I've been reading the first book of that. I need to get the third book, but it's not up on his site. But those are some killer articles. You want to talk about somebody who just really loves music. So that's going on. He's also been hitting the podcast circuit. So he was on Dean Del Rey's podcast.
Yes, I heard that one.
It's a good one. He's also on the Joey Diaz podcast and just came out, I think, yesterday is Joe Rogan's podcast.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
He seems like he's hitting them all. So I'm going to check those out. So that's going on tonight. And then
well, he's hitting our podcast up, so I don't know.
Oh, we had him years ago.
We had him on long before those wannabes. Yeah.
Well, does he remember us? Probably not.
No.
Well, I don't know. If we reminded him and say, hey, we were the guys that said this, this, and this, then.
I doubt it. The guy has done so much in his life.
Says otherwise.
The guy has Nobody done so much with his life. What? What'd you say?
I said my restraining order says otherwise.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just kidding. But shit, what was I gonna say? Oh, so okay, check this out. So do you guys use Pledge Music at all? You guys familiar with that site? Pledge
Music? What the hell is that?
I have so Pledge Music. Past, yeah.
Yeah, Pledge Music and it's kind of like an Indiegogo, but really just for music. So I first became familiar with it when Scott Ian was putting out CD Speaking Words, and it's really become a platform for bigger artists. It was originally for like indie artists who basically come out, crowdsource their album, their project, whatever they want to do. But a lot of the bigger name artists are using this to pre-order the album for their fans, and it's a way for them to get the money more directly.
Now I know what you mean. Yeah, sorry. It's yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Cool. So Big John Hart, does that name ring a bell for anybody?
Yes, he was the security guard for Kiss for many years in the 70s.
Yes. And so he is putting
I have an autographed picture by him.
Nice. Oh, man.
Yep.
Dude. Well, he's got a book that's coming out about, you know, when he was a bodyguard for Kiss as well as other bands back in the 70s.
Yes, he's worked with a lot of people.
That's up on Indiegogo right now. And along with Indiegogo, Pledge Music, sorry. But along with that on Pledge Music, Corrine, you'd mentioned The Cavalera Conspiracy. Coming out this October is the new Soulfly record.
Mm.
And you can actually pre-order that on Pledge Music right now.
Really?
Yeah, because when you said about the Cavalera Conspiracy, I remember Snowy talking about it last year, because we also talked about, was it the Soulfly record, the live Soulfly record, Snowy, when you did the interview for that, and we talked about the Cavalera Conspiracy record, but I remember you talking about Psychosis before, so I went and listened to the entire record when Corrine mentioned it this week. Fuck, what a great record, man. Psychosis is really good, so I'm kind of excited now for the new Soulfly. And then, you know, thanks to Rock mentioning the Rotten Sound, I listened to Nutrition this week as well. But
did you get your daily dose of vitamin D?
Oh, I did. I think we might mean different things, though. It's weird. But so back to Leached. So last week, listeners, if you remember, Snowy wanted to play a Guilt by Leached, and that was just a fuck of a track.
Mm-hmm.
Man, like that was so good. So up my alley. I absolutely love that track. And so I typed in Leached. It started there in Spotify, and a band popped up, Wolf King. I'm like, Wolf King, why does this sound familiar? Oh, because Snowy's more than likely seen them in concert, and he mentioned their new album, Loyal to the Soil. So I go and check out Loyal to the Soil, and the opening fucking track is called Hail the Ash, and holy shit, is this up my alley.
The whole record's a barn burner, yeah.
Oh, well, dude, it is so good. It is so good. There's really not a bad track on this record, but like it opens up. There's just such a swagger to it, you know, from a metal perspective. It's just got this slow groove to open up, but it doesn't stay slow. It like melts your face off. And so what I would like to play going out of our metal fix is Hail the Ash by Wolf King. I'm like, fuck, did I write that? Like, because there's another Wolf band. I'm like, I totally blew that. I also listened to Wolf Hammer.
So we played Wolf Hammer recently, and
yeah.
I want to get to Wolf Blood. Lots of wolves. Ow! Going.
Right, so, Hail to the Ash by Wolfgang.
Here it is.
We'll be right back.
Available now, Reaper Metal Productions. Tell them your cool Uncle Snowy sent you. That is Wolf Blood and Rot and Roll from that awesome new EP, Knight Rider. Go and check that out. That is some good shizite, man. If you dig that type of, well, that type of rot and roll that's making its way around, you know, in the metal underground, you know, if you're into the Midnights, if you're into the Abigails, that type of stuff, then yeah, get on this EP. Something else making the rounds in the underground that I was really digging is one Sarah Longfield. Okay, recently, Vancouver Tech Death Metalers Archspire came through town, and we've had them on the show before. You know, they're an awesome band on Season of Mist, so of course, you know, we were all over them. Coming through town this time is their label mate, one Sarah Longfield. Now, it's like, okay, I don't know who this is, but when you have like something like that, okay, on a tour with these brutal death metalers and deathcore bands and all that, it makes you go, I think maybe I should check this out. So I did my due diligence and I checked out Sarah Longfield and found out that she is this gifted prog rocker on the guitar who recently signed on to Seasons of Mist, thus, you know, her being on this bill and all that. Checked it out. Wow, this is amazing and something that's totally, you know, it's not Radioactive Metal's wheelhouse, but I think it's enough. And there's enough of a really interesting story and a really captivating person here that warrants us to give a little time here in our creature feature. So at the show, as the evening was kind of dying down, it's just one of those things where it actually didn't look like my creature feature with Miss Longfield was going to happen, but just a series of unfortunate events that just, I don't know, this might not happen, but as the night's kind of unwinding down and we're looking to start loading out and all that, I noticed that, you know, Miss Longfield and one of her bandmates are making this little game of tossing around this water bottle. It's like, okay, if she's got time to do this, okay, then she's definitely got 15 minutes for the listeners of Radioactive Metal, which she was more than happy to do. So without further ado, I'm really stoked to say this is Radioactive Metal's chat with prog, metaler, rocker, instrumentalist, all-around cool person, Sarah Longfield. Thank you.
First and foremost, what we should probably do is we're going to be introducing you to a whole new set of listeners and also a whole new set of ears. So maybe just kind of introduce yourself, give your bio, your origins, whatever you feel, just to give our listeners an idea of who you are, what you do, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Well, my name is Sarah Longfield, and I'm from Madison, Wisconsin, and I do a lot of guitar things, prog guitar, instrumental kind of things, and I've been doing them for about 13 years now. I'm also on YouTube, I guess, so there's that.
Mm-hmm.
But
right on.
That's pretty much it.
Right on. And from what you do, you have your own unique style. You know, it just, it's absolutely amazing. Like,
thanks.
When watching you play, I was like blown away. It's like, you just don't see what you do very often and all that. So that, what makes me think is you're out here with Artspire. Mm-hmm. You're crossing Canada and I'm sure the US as well.
Mm-hmm.
And all that. The first thing that comes to my head is, what's a good girl like you doing on a tour like this?
We're definitely a bit of a weird fit genre-wise, no doubt. But me and Archfire are on the same label. We're both on Season of Mist, and I'm pretty sure that's how it got set up. But when I started playing guitar, I was super into tech death. I was into, like, Necrophagist and stuff, and that's what started out my guitar playing. So I've always kind of, even though I'm, like, evolving into a much more mellow, I guess you could kind of say, area of metal, I started out in the tech, you know, the shreddy riffs and, mm-hmm. and all of that way back when. So yeah,
right on. Which that kind of makes me think, what made you decide to do something like this? Because you're definitely, I don't want to embarrass you or anything, but you're definitely a trailblazer for what you do. You don't see a lot of, and I don't want to offend you, but...
No, it's easy. You can't offend me. I've been on the internet for 15 years.
This, what you do, there's not a lot of ladies that do that. What made you decide to do what you do?
Oh, it wasn't really like a decision. Like, I didn't have a conscious, you know, I want to do this moment. It was like, I played violin and my violin teacher moved away and I was like, I don't know, guitars have strings. That's like kind of the same thing. And I thought guitar was really stupid until someone showed me like some metal riffs and I was like, that's fast and I'm into it. So I just, it didn't ever seem weird or anything to me. It's just a thing I've always done.
Right on. Is there any particular artists that made you think, I can do that? That'd be awesome.
I mean, yeah, it was a bunch of, like I said, I was into a bunch of metal when I was younger, so it was like, Meshuggah was a huge one, Necrophagist was huge, All Shall Perish was like, really big, like their whole Price of Existence album was sick, and yeah, I think those were probably like the three big ones. It wasn't like a, you know, I'm listening to that and that's what I wanted to do, it was like, I just, it, I don't know, lined up. I liked playing guitar and that was fast guitar stuff, so it made sense. It was really meditative for me.
All right. Right on. And what really caught my attention is signing on with Season of Mist.
Like, yeah. I've,
with this show, we've been dealing with this label for years now and all that.
Mm-hmm.
When I think Season of Mist, I don't think the stuff that you do.
Yeah, stylistically.
Yeah.
For sure.
So how did this come about? Did they approach you, or did you do the demo thing and all that?
So I've been really content being an independent artist since day one. I was just, I never wanted to be on a label. It wasn't a thing I saw lining up for my, you know, career planning, because I'm super independent and I have my way I want to do things. And I don't know if that lines up with anybody else's way. So every time I got approached by a label, they always wanted to take control of things I wasn't willing to let go of, and they always wanted to dictate things I didn't want anyone else dictating, so I just didn't generally agree with that. Season of Mist, Michael hit me up on Facebook, and his message ended up in my message request that I check like once a month, and he was like, this is Michael from Season of Mist, can we talk? And I'm just like, I was like, what? And then I answered it, and I was like, yeah, sure, my number is, you know, whatever, and he called me up, and we chatted for a long time, and he emailed me, and I emailed him, and we did a lot of negotiating, and they were the first label I ever talked to that was willing to accommodate all of the weird things that I needed to have a label accommodate for me to want to mm-hmm. sign with them. They were very willing to, you know, like, basically meet all of my needs and expectations. So by the end of it, I was just like, yeah, sure, like, you win. Yeah, I'm in. Like, this is sick. I know it's kind of a weird fit, but more than anything, I'm just looking to work with people that are on the same page, and they definitely were. So I'm really excited about what we're going to be doing.
I know, right on. Total creative freedom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And that's, like, huge for me, because I was approached by a couple other labels, and they wanted to get a creative team in and an image team in. And, you know, it's like, it's easy to market women in metal, like, but that's not me. Like, I don't think I could stand behind having my name on a thing that, like, I, A, didn't make, and B, I just, it's like, I don't want that look. I don't want that to be representing what I do. So, yeah, I get to do whatever I want, and they're just helping me, you know, get it out there and promote it, and, you know, beneficial to both of us.
Right on, right on. Yeah, yeah. Susan's great friends of ours. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, good so people all around.
You kind of started, like, I've seen your YouTube clips and all that, and I'm like, I was really impressed and all that. Thanks. That's, like, is that... If that's all you did, okay, you would be content with that?
It's tough to say. So, like, YouTube is weird. All my YouTube friends just do YouTube exclusively, and they all are doing really well for themselves financially and otherwise. They're busy constantly. They're traveling constantly. The YouTube community is incredibly supportive, and I absolutely love it. But I also always, with music, I just wanted to be in a band, and I wanted to be touring, and I wanted to, you know, do it like that. I never really felt like I was a YouTuber. It was just like a side thing that I did.
Mm-hmm.
But it's come to this point where I think I'm just trying to do them both and blend them together, which has proven to be hard, and I've definitely... It's less financially. Let me tell you, it's much better to pick one, not try to do both. But I can't seem to settle. If I start making a bunch of YouTube videos and I don't tour for a long time, I get restless. And if I'm touring constantly and not making videos, I become exhausted and I feel like, you know, I'm just kind of dropping off the ball. So it's, I don't know. I'm still figuring that out. I like the balance of it when I can get both done.
Right on, right on, right on. And you started out in a band, or you're currently in one, or I'm going to let you use your words. It's time to push yourself. This is where you tell my sisters how great you are.
It's a weird thing to do. So no one wanted to be in a band with me when I was a kid, which is why I have a solo project in the first place. I tried to join all these bands, and it was just like, you know, when guys are young, they're like 13 to 17, they don't want to be in a band with a girl that can play just as good as they can, you know? Like, they don't want like a girl showing them up on the high school stage. Like, that doesn't look good. So no one wanted to be in a band with me. So I started writing my own music. I met Keith Merrow. We had some Skype calls, and he's like, you should record your own music. I was like, that's a great idea. So he gave me a couple lessons on how to operate a DAW, and ever since then, it's just made more sense to do it myself. I love bands and whatever, you know, side projects and bands I've been in, it's been great, but I've just been doing the solo stuff for so long, it's what I stick to.
Right on, right on. And what kind of response, because like I said, you're out with these tech death bands and all that, and you're it's just metal and all that.
Yeah.
What's the response been from what you've noticed to this audience? Because that, like I said,
oh, yeah,
you do something that's way out there. Like, what's the response been for what you do?
Oh, it's so polar. For the first time, I think actually ever, it's been very polar. We, you know, you have some people in, like, you know, more rural conservative areas that are very just like death metal, tech metal, and that's it, and that's all they want to listen to, and they don't want prog metal, they don't want like anything that gets close to Animals as Leaders or Scale the Summit. So we had a couple shows where we got booed.
Wow.
Yeah. But we've also had a couple shows where people are like, I've never heard of you, this is the weirdest music ever, I'm like so inspired. And so, but I'm about that, like, that's cool, you know, hate me or love me, don't ignore me. So it's been a good time, and like, we're obviously out with a bunch of great people, super talented musicians. So when I got the offer, I was not gonna say no to that.
I'm gonna have people, and I have to go on the show when we air this interview, and I have to explain what you do. And like, I've been around, I've been here and there and all that. I'm kind of having a little difficulty given the proper words, the, you know, it's this style, it's this, it's that. So let's hear it straight from your mouth. How would you describe your sound and what you do in your words?
I don't know. It's such a weird, like, thing to think about. And especially it's changing constantly. Like, each album I'm putting out, there's similarities, obviously, but they're moving in different directions genre-wise. Prog rock with electronic beats. That's what it feels like. But it's kind of shreddy and kind of techy, so there is an aspect of metal to it. But I don't want to be that person that's like, yeah, I play prog rock, shred, tech, metal, electronic music, you know. So I don't know. I just tell people prog rock when they ask me on the street.
And that's acceptable.
It's a broad spectrum term. I'm like, maybe it's like Rush, or maybe it's kind of Necrophagist-y, or maybe it's like the trap beats you listened to at the club, the, like, you know, 3 days ago. I don't know.
Right on. You know what? As a Canadian, eh? The fact that you just named Rush, all right.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you. What are you, what's the plan of attack? What's the game plan in the next 365 days?
Ooh. Yeah, this year has been crazy, and it's just going to get crazier. We have a tour with Winter Sun.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, nice.
Been on the show, yeah.
Yeah. So that's coming up September 14th, October 14th. I'm really excited for that. And then the new album is going to be coming out soon. I don't know how many details I'm allowed to release about that. But and then we've got the NAMM show. I'm trying to book a Europe tour for the spring. So we'll see if that actually comes to fruition. But yeah, and in between, lots of YouTube things, lots of YouTube hangs, more videos, more travels and collaborations. So.
Okay, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here. Your ideal gig as a musician, what's, if I could do this in the next, for the remainder of your career, which will probably be another 50 years. Okay, I will be satisfied if I do this.
Oh, man, I've already done so many things I never thought I was going to be able to do, and I didn't, it's like I've had to keep making, you know, new goals and stuff, because I'm doing all the things I wanted to do. I guess, I think it would be, like, really sick to tour with electronic musicians, and I'd really like to play guitar in, like, for, like, a pop singer, you know, or something, like, one of those bigger gigs, like, playing for, you know, a huge pop artist, just to do it.
And to pay the bills.
Yeah, but not even for the money. Just to do it, to be like, wow, this is so weird. I mean, obviously, you know, continue doing what I'm doing, touring with all my friends and all the bands I looked up to growing up. You can't really ask for any more, you know?
Well, thank you so much. I'm so excited that you guys are crossing Canada and all that. I hope the country is treating you well and all that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been awesome.
Give someone a shout out. Just say hi to someone.
Hi, Mom. I'm sorry that I haven't been home in like a year.
It comes with the territory.
Yeah, my mom's great. She's such an excellent, wonderful human.
Right on.
So you two, the musicians on the show, and all the other musical virtuosos and all that, please check out Sarah Longfield. And when you see what this young lady does, and I forgot to announce her song Illuminate from her record Collapse Expand, which Season of Mist is going to be re-releasing soon under their banner, and then her debut record with Seasons will be coming out shortly after that, so you can expect a lot. And as I was saying, you know, if you're one of those, you know, those music listeners that are into awesome musicianship and songwriting and just something really unique and really cool that you might not normally listen to on a regular basis, this is definitely something that you're going to want to check out. And like I said, she kind of stood out, you know, from the other bands on this Archspire tour that came through. But I think that definitely worked out in her favor. And as you heard in the interview, she was really stoked to be on it because, yeah, what she does, it's not brutal, it's not aggressive, but she's a metalhead. She's a metalhead, and she knows her shit. And all that. And I was really in awe of her as we were talking and all that. And I just want to put her over big time. And she's got a wicked sense of humor. Slayer fans in the room. Yeah. Slayer fans in the room. While I was going about my business compiling all of this great stuff about Miss Longfield, I discovered a video of her playing the ukulele. Of all things. Like, this is definitely a woman that has a firm command of the strings, and she made this wicked video entitled Slayer Payback, a ukulele cover with Sarah Longfield. And I just to give you a little taste of the fun side of Miss Longfield. So yeah, please check this out.
And that's how the flowers grow.
Wow, that was so amazing, you guys. We actually have some new members to our Sunday youth group, Sarah and Rob.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for inviting us. I made cupcakes for everyone, too, but it seems Cheryl ate all of them.
Well, you just made them so yummy, I couldn't resist.
So this is a song for one of my special new friends. And one, and two, and...
Cannot stress it enough. Do yourself a favor. When Sarah Longfield is in your neck of the woods, check it out. Check it out. Go onto YouTube. Check out all of her really cool videos. Grab whatever music you can of hers. And when, you know, Season of Mist starts pumping out the tunes, get on that. Get on that. I know I will. Fantastic. It was just one of those. It was the surprise of the night. You know what I mean? It was totally the highlight. So thanks to Miss Longfield for taking the time out and sharing all of the greatness that is hers, that is her, with our listeners. Before we get on out of here, and I want to go out on a really cool new tune by an old favorite. I want to dedicate it to a couple really cool people the last, week and a half or so that's really caught my attention. And remember, Aaron, last week we were talking about sucking it up for your scene and just fucking, you know, being there and being dedicated, and just everything that we said definitely applies to these people who are my new heroes. I want to say hello and horns up to one Ane Ginsberg. Okay, now who Mrs. Ginsberg is she's a 93-year-old vocalist. Her band is called the Triton Kings. Okay, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And what makes this band and this person really unique is she's a 93-year-old that's cranking out the brutal metal. That's what Triton Kings are.
Awesome.
There's videos now. Yeah, there's videos up on YouTube where she's just killing it. And she's got this amazing story where she's a Holocaust survivor. She was a spy for the Allies during the Second World War. She, in the 40s, she married a composer, and they went on to write songs for Nat King Cole, Dean Martin, Doris Day. Just Jeez. Like the titans. From
that's
that.
Awesome.
Yeah. And now, 60 years later after that, she has discovered the metal in her 90s. That's
crazy.
Fucking awesome. Oh, my God. I mean, like, my heroine used to be Wonder Woman. It used to be Princess Leia. No. Ane Ginsberg is my new heroine. As well, we got to say hello and horns up. And this is already the front runner of my Rammy Award for News Story of the Year. The two elderly gentlemen that escaped. Funny how that's an interesting word.
Escape, quote unquote.
they escaped a German nursing home in order to attend the Wacken Metal Festival. That's just,
I mean, who would
now a couple? Oh, I know. Like, okay. First of all, the thing that immediately jumps to mind with this, and you know, I'm not going to go into too many details about this because it's now widespread. Everyone knows about this. Okay. First thing that comes to mind is, who's the fucking person that put these obviously really young people into an old folks home? You know what I mean? Aaron, yeah. Last week we talked about how young people 20 years into, like, are 20 years old. I got to get up early tomorrow. I got to do this. I can't go to a show on a Wednesday. Fuck that. Here are these two elderly gentlemen breaking out, you know, of an old folks home in order to go to Wacken.
They don't have to work the next day, though.
Oh,
they're retired.
And they probably had fresh Depends with them, too.
Yeah. So with that in mind, the song that I specifically want to go out on and to dedicate this to my new heroes and heroine, Dee Snider, has a wicked new record out called For the Love of Metal. And it is the song I want to go out on is it's bang on to be dedicated to these people, because it's called Tomorrow's No Concern. And when you give this wicked tune a listen, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. So this is for them. Yeah, before we get on out of here, though, we suck at this. I almost forgot. How can people get a hold of us?
Facebook.com/radmetal, Instagram, radmetal666, Twitter, radmetal666. And, you know, if you want to email us, you know, for suggestions, whatever, radmetal666@gmail.com. And that pretty much covers everything.
And don't forget to buy some True Cult coffee this week. Sign up for a subscription so you never run out of True Cult coffee at trvekvltcoffee.com.
And you know, of course, and you know, we really suck at this because I forgot the website, radioactivemetal.org. Oh.
We have a website?
Yeah.
We got a kick-ass website. We got the best fucking website on the interwebs, man.
Thank you.
And of course, Radioactive Metal is, quote unquote, live every Thursday on Pure Rock Radio. You can hear us pretty much everywhere, including earpeeler.com. There's 800 million awesome podcasts on that. And of course, we are proud members of the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. Check not only us out, but all of our podcast brethren on there. Wicked shows, everything from pro wrestling to pop culture to lifestyles, all your one-stop shopping. Check it out. Thank you so much, you guys, for kicking my weekend off right in the meantime and in between time. That's it. This has been a Sarah Smiles episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
And I'm Kareem.
And this is Aaron.
Signing off.
RadioactiveMetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on PureRockRadio.net. You can also listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to RadioactiveMetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We may even play it on the show. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal. Twitter.com/radmetal666 and Instagram.com/radioactivemetal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal.
It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal. For the love of metal, there's no other way. I do it for the love of metal.